Chapter 10 A Family for Jane. I enjoyed living in my little house, but the work was difficult. I had 20 students, and most of them could not read or write. In the evenings, I was sad, and I had a lot of bad dreams. I also asked myself again and again which was better. Should I follow my heart and live in a warm and beautiful European country with Mr. Rochester? Was living that beautiful lie better than being a plain village schoolteacher in England? Sometimes I walked to the door of my cottage and looked at the beautiful fields around me, and I started to cry. One snowy evening at the beginning of winter, St. John came to visit me. He often came to see me after work, and I understood him better now. This evening, he took off his coat and sat down next to the fire. "Come and sit with me, Jane," he said. "I want to tell you a story." I went and sat next to him. 20 years ago, he started, a poor clergyman fell in love with a rich man's daughter. The clergyman and this woman had a daughter. Soon after, they both became ill and died. The daughter went to live with her aunt. And he went on to tell me the story of my life at Lowood and my time at Thornfield, finishing with, "After learning that Mr. Rochester already had a wife, the governess left Thornfield in the middle of the night. Many people have looked for her. They have advertised in the newspapers for her, but no one knows where she is. I have here a letter from Mr. Briggs, a lawyer, which tells me the story I have just told you. It's a strange story, isn't it?" "Just tell me this," I said quickly. "Now that you know so much about my life, what news is there of Mr. Rochester?" "I know nothing about him," St. John replied. "The letter does not talk about him. Mr. Briggs wrote to him about you, but it was answered by someone called Alice Fairfax." My body turned cold. Was Mr. Rochester in Europe? Was he trying to escape from his thoughts about me? Oh, my poor Edward! "He is a bad man," said St. John. "You don't know him, so please don't talk about him," I said. "Very well," he replied. "Anyway, I must tell you the reason for the letter. Your uncle, Mr. Eyre of Madeira, is dead, and he has left you his house and £20,000. You are a rich woman now, Jane."
Rich?
I could not believe this news. I sat silently while St. John got up and put his coat on. "Well, it is a wild night, and I must go," he said.
"Just one question," I said quickly. "Why did Mr. Briggs write to you?"
He stopped and then came slowly back to the fire. "Your name is Jane Eyre?" he said.
"Yes."
"My mother's name was Eyre before she got married. She had two brothers. One was a clergyman who married Miss Jane Reed of Gateshead. They were your parents. The other, John Eyre of Madeira, was our uncle."
"Your mother was my father's sister," I said.
Then I stood up.
"My Uncle John was your Uncle John? You, Diana and Mary are his sister's children? Then we are cousins."
"We are, yes." I watched him.
it seemed that I had found a family, 3 cousins to love. Oh, I am happy, I cried.
He smiled. Of course you are happy. You are rich. Our uncle decided to leave all his money to you.
What do you mean? I cried.
I began walking fast across the room.
You already have sisters, so this means nothing to you. But I had no one, and now I have a family. Oh, you saved my life.
There are 4 of us. £20,000, that's £5,000 each.
It's a lot of money. You must write to tell Diana and Mary tomorrow. They don't have to work anymore.